Welcome to Ad Bible, an audio daily devotion from the Ezra Project. Alan J. Huth shares a Bible passage with comments from over 35 years of his personal Bible reading journals and applies the Word of God to our daily lives.
Today we begin the book of Colossians. Colossians is four chapters, one of the epistles of the New Testament. We will look at my English Standard Version Study Bible book introduction on this book. During Paul's three-year ministry in Ephesus, a Colossian named Epaphras, probably in Ephesus, responded to Paul's gospel message. He then returned to his hometown and began sharing the good news of Jesus, which resulted in the birth of the Colossian church. At the time of the writing of this letter, Epaphras was probably back in Rome with Paul. He probably shared the challenges of dangerous teachings that were threatening the church of Colossae. Paul writes the Colossians to respond to the threats and to encourage the believers in their growth in Christianity. But Paul never visited Colossae. The letter was probably written in 62 AD by Timothy, serving as Paul's secretary. The theme of the letter is Christ. It is one of the Bible's most Christ-centered books. Christ is exalted as Lord over all creation, even the invisible realm. He has also secured redemption for his people, enabling us to participate with him in his death, resurrection, and fullness. Our unity is in him, the preeminent Christ. We are to press on to maturity in Christ by continuing to battle sin, pursuing holiness in Christ, and learning to live distinctly as Christians. Our guest reader for Colossians is a familiar voice to Ad Bible listeners, the voice that introduces each Ad Bible recording. Welcome to Ad Bible, an audio daily devotion from the Ezra Project. We join that voice is Gwen Olson, Executive Administrative Assistant to me, the President of the Ezra Project. Gwen started with the Ezra Project in 2008 as a volunteer admin assistant, working one night a week. She became a full-time part of our staff in 2016. She lives in Texas with her husband, Bill. Gwen is the one who edits, transcribes, and publishes every Ad Bible recording, and without her, there would be no product for you to listen to. So now, she gets to edit herself. It's a joy to have Gwen read two of the four chapters of Colossians. Let's listen in to Gwen Olson read the 29 verses of Colossians chapter 1.
Colossians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you have heard before in the word of the truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world it is bearing fruit and increasing, as it also does among you, since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth, just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us your love in the Spirit. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And you, who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he is now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him, if indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me.
To help us through the book of Colossians, I've selected three of my personal Bible reading journals. I found one on Colossians that goes all the way back to 1986 when I was 31 years old. Then I selected one 10 years later in 1996 at 41 years old. And the third one will be the one I used in 2006 at 51 years old. So three personal Bible reading journals from three different decades, 10 years apart. By the way, the first personal Bible reading journal I ever recorded was in 1983, so 1986 is very early in my journaling years. Looking back at my journal in 1986, I discovered that I read Colossians 1 on three different days, so I broke up this chapter into several different sections of verses. So what did I write? The first section was the first 12 verses of this chapter, and I wrote, "Pray without ceasing." And then I referred to verse 9, "Ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding." And verse 10, "So that you," and I put a parenthesis, "I, may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." The next day, I read a hodgepodge of verses from Scripture. I read Psalm 27, and I read something out of Ephesians and Corinthians. But I did also finish the chapter, Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 through the end. And I wrote, "He is before all things, and all things hold together in him." And then I wrote, "Study on walk," and that's where I referred to some of those other verses concerning walking in Christ. Like Ephesians 4:1, "Walk in a manner worthy of your calling." Galatians 5:16, "Walk in the Spirit." 2 Corinthians 5:7, "Walk by faith and not by sight." I was referring back to verse 10 of chapter 1 of Colossians, where it says, "Walk in a manner worthy of the Lord." So I did a little study on walk. The next day I finished Colossians chapter 1 by focusing on verses 19 through 29. I wrote, "Jesus is the fullness of forgiveness and peace comes through the blood of Jesus." Then I referred to verse 25 of this church, "I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit, that I may fully carry out the preaching of the Word of God." 10 years later, in 1996, I was reading the New Testament that year. So I read Colossians 1 chapter a day, and on Colossians 1 I wrote, "Truth of Gospel, Grace of God in Truth." And then I wrote, "Ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Then I referred to verse 17, "In him all things hold together." And I quoted verse 27, "Christ in you, the hope of glory." In 2006, another 10 years later, I was reading the whole Bible that year. So I was reading Old Testament passages each day and New Testament passages each day. So on this day, I read some passages out of Isaiah, and I read Colossians chapter 1. Concerning Colossians 1, I quoted verse 10, "Walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." Then I quoted verse 15, "He is the image of the invisible God." Then I wrote, "Not another good man or prophet." And I quoted verse 27, "Christ in you, the hope of glory." This is a great truth. Jesus can dwell in us. So those were my journal entries in 1986, 96, and 2006 concerning Colossians chapter 1. This is a great book, one of my favorite books in the Bible. In fact, one of my early memories was when I was in college and I got in a Bible study. I didn't know it was affiliated with the Navigators, but the guys who led the Bible study invited us all to go down to Glen Eyrie, the headquarters of the Navigators in Colorado Springs. It's a beautiful facility, and we sat in this big lodge, and I remember one thing being taught in that study that weekend, and that is verse 27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, I don't remember many sermons that I hear or teachings that I've listened to in my Christian life, but for some reason, that teaching still rings in my ears well over 40 years later. It came right out of Colossians chapter 1. So let's review a couple of the power verses in this chapter, starting with verse 10. So as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Oh, we could park right there for about a week and discuss the power of those phrases in this verse. Are you walking in a manner worthy of the Lord? Are you fully pleasing to Him? Are you bearing fruit? And are you increasing in the knowledge of God? But we must move on. Let's look at verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God. Yes, Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Verses 16 and 17 say, all things were created through Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. That means Jesus was present in the creation. Verse 19 says, for in Him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. So Jesus was the image of the invisible God, and in Him the fullness of God dwelled. Verse 20 says about Jesus, He reconciled all things to Himself, whether on heaven or earth, making peace by the blood of His cross. So we are reconciled to Jesus, to God then, through the cross of Christ and His blood alone. Verse 22 continues this thought, He has now reconciled in His body of flesh by His death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before Him. So again, Jesus reconciled us through His death to present us holy and blameless before God. But then there's one of those ifs in the scriptures, and that's verse 23. That can happen if indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you have heard. So to be reconciled, we must continue in the faith. We must be stable and steadfast in our beliefs. And we close with that great verse, verse 27. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Paul calls it a mystery. He calls it God's riches in glory, that Christ dwells within us. I don't know if I can truly comprehend what that means. And maybe that's why my mind still goes back to what I heard 40 years ago when I first heard it at Glen Eyrie in that Navigator retreat. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Father, we thank you for Colossians chapter 1, that all of you, the fullness of you, came in the body of a man named Jesus Christ. He certainly was your Son and God in the flesh, the image of you, the invisible God, the fullness of you dwelling within Him. And through Him, we are reconciled to you because of the cross. Because of His death, burial, and resurrection, we now can say Christ is in us, and we have the hope of glory. I, for one, Lord, am thankful that I cannot comprehend all these things. I'm reminded in the Old Testament that you say, your thoughts are higher than my thoughts. Your ways are higher than my ways. So though I may not be able to comprehend it, Lord, I can accept it. And I do. Because I have the opportunity to have Christ dwelling within me, I want to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to you, bearing fruit in every good work, and continuing to increase in the knowledge of God. Thank you, thank you, thank you, that Christ is in me, the hope of glory. Amen.